Amen.
Well, we've been tremendously privileged to have the Webbers with us. And what a blessing it's been. And wonderful people, genuine people. And I like spending time with them as well. They're fun to be around. And we just had a great service this morning. We had 6 or 7 get the Holy Ghost. We baptized a bunch of people. God is good, amen? That's right. And we ought to be expecting. Expecting because we know, as we learned last week, as the preaching came forth, that we're living in the last days. God told us that the last days would become accompanied by an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it. I want this church to be part of it. I want you to be part of that outpouring in the last days. You know, we look at our friends and our family in the world and we say, you know what? I don't think they would ever need God. Well, they need God. And there is a searching. This world is more spiritual than it has ever been. More spiritually aware. I'm not talking about the Spirit of God, but a spiritual awareness is more prevalent in the world than has ever been before. People are searching for something. And let me tell you, you and I have got the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. And so we think, oh, they will never want to come to church. Let me tell you, just invite them, get them into the presence of God. And as Brother Weber said, he said, well, it's God's problem after that. Let God do a work. It's God's problem. It's God will show him. There's nothing that you can do. Just get him in the presence of God. Let the Spirit of God move on their hearts and God will do the rest. Amen? Amen. Well, he needs no introduction. We introduced Brother Weber today, but we've been blessed by his ministry. Come, brother, preach the word and we'll receive it with gladness of heart. Praise God.
One more time, let's do that for the Lord. Can you put your hands together in honor? What a mighty God he is. What a mighty God he is. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles and let's go to Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet of Isaiah. Chapter 53, we're looking at verse 1. Chapter 53 of Isaiah. If you have the ability to stand with us, we invite you to do so for the reading of the word. It's a custom in Louisiana, in fact, in our church. It may not be your custom, but if you'll just humor me tonight and stand with me in honor of this powerful word, there is nothing that can bring life to you like this word. And we give it honor because it's a living word. The Bible says it's quick. That word doesn't mean fast, it means alive. And it will go into your life and begin to work and do powerful things. So you're not wasting a night by being in the house of God listening to the word, because God knew you would be here and there are some powerful things that he's going to accomplish in your life with his word. Amen, amen. As you're looking, Isaiah 53, it's in the Old Testament. If you're in the New Testament, we need to get a Bible study with you. It should be in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. We give honor to your pastor and Sister Downs. What great Christians that are leading you, passionate about souls and revival and church growth. And that's about all we talked about, just the church and how we want it to excel. And we have a kindred spirit when it comes to that. We want God's kingdom to expand. And I'm thankful for that. Brother Downs, thank you for the wonderful invitation to be with you this Sunday. It has been our honor. And we're thankful for your good wife and your family. These are such tremendous folks. We're blessed to be a part of this. And we call Brother and Sister Downs, Bishop and Sister Downs. Might not be Bishop to you. I don't know what you call them, but it is? Okay. Well, then, Bishop, great to be with these wonderful folks. They've opened their home to us and gave us a whole wing of their home, which is ours. We may move in a little longer. You may keep us a while if you keep feeding us like you are and treating us with all the good tea and the crumpets. And, oh, my goodness, you folks have a wonderful, wonderful leadership team pastoring you, and you're very blessed. But you know what? Let's flip that coin over. I am very thankful that these leaders have such great men and women of God that are members of this local assembly. And together you make up the body of Christ, and it's a powerful body. Amen. Karen, I'm glad to have my wife with me. We're so excited to be in Australia. Kangaroos and all the good things that we've seen, koala bears and emus and cockatoos and parrots, and you buy those things in America. You have them free to look at every day. You people are blessed. Amen. You ready to read the word? And thank God for his prophecy tonight and his tongues and interpretation. If you are new here and you don't understand that, God was giving us an insight of what he wants to do. That's what that's all about. And in fact, that's exactly what I was preaching on tonight. So God is telling us, I know what I'm doing here if you'll trust me. Isaiah 53 verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Tonight is a very simple topic, but not a simple subject. It's a powerful and profound subject if we'll get a hold of it tonight. Something's about to happen supernaturally. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? That is my topic tonight. And I'm going to believe with you that in this house before we walk out this evening, God is going to fill people with his spirit as he did this morning. People are going to experience the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And I believe there are going to be miracles in this house. People who need God to intervene in situations physically, emotionally, materially, and spiritually. And it takes a miracle, well, then you're in the right house. Because God just told us through interpretation of tongues that he is ready to do some things that are impossible to you. Amen. How many need a miracle tonight? Amen. Well, you're in the right place at the right time. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We come to you with faith, believing that all things are possible. If we'll put our faith in you, you said you would do it. There's nothing that you could not do, nothing that you will not do. In the name of Jesus, we put it in your hands, believing that whatever you want to do, if we'll put our faith to it, that the God, you will accomplish supernatural things. We come against every adversary, every distraction, everything that would come against our faith. And we bind it in the name of Jesus and command it to leave this house so that there is a freedom in our faith tonight to trust you and to believe what your word says. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, I believe it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the beautiful presence of the Lord. Now let me preface this message tonight by talking a little bit about some voices. I know that the enemy's voice is loud. It is very loud in these days that we're living in. It's screaming on billboards and across news agencies, and it's screaming across governmental agencies and through many elements of our world. The enemy's voice is loud and prevalent in our ears, and the Bible said that's how it would be in these last days. And we can't do anything about the evil voice making it to the exterior of our ears. But we can do something about the voice we let into our mind. Amen. Amen. You don't even have to tell me what the devil is saying. I know what he sounds like, and so do you. He sounds like fear. He sounds like doubt. He sounds like negativity. He sounds like uncertainty. He sounds like dread. He sounds like anxiety. He sounds like panic. And if we don't stop it, his voice can permeate through our life, and it can reach our heart until our faith begins to crumble. But I've made up my mind. There is no room for the devil's voice in my life. God's voice is the only voice that I am going to hear. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to dwell on what the adversary is telling me, but I'm going to dwell on what God is saying to me. Amen. And my message tonight is a question. Whose report will you believe? Genesis 1 and 3 says, and God said. 1 and 6, and God said. 1 and 9, and God said. 1 and 11, and God said. 1:14, and God said. 1 and 20, and God said. 1:24, and God said. 1:26, and God said. Verse 1, chapter 1:28, and God said. Genesis 1:29, and God said. 2:18, and the Lord God said. 3:1, yea, hath God said. 3:13, and the Lord God said. 3:22, and the Lord God said. I hope this is not boring anybody. I don't care what the devil said, but I do care about what God said. Genesis 4:25, for God said. 6:13, and God said. 9:12, and God said. 9:17, and God said. 9:17 again, and God said. 17:9, and God said. 17:15, and God said. 17:19, and God said. 20:6, and God said. Why do you people read the Word of God? Because it's what God said. And it's what I want to hear. It's what I want to permeate my spirit with. It's what I want to baptize my mind with. He said, if you're going through some tough times and the adversary's throwing things at you, think on these things. 21:12, and God said. 35:1. And God said, was still in the first book of the Bible. 35:10, and God said. 35:11, and God said, is this guy going to keep telling us every place God said something in the Bible? I'm going to do it until somebody gets a hold of it. I'm going to do it until somebody realizes what you have got when you've got the Word of God in your life. Exodus 3:14, and God said. Exodus 3:15, and God said. Exodus 13:17, for God said. Numbers 22:12, and God said. 1 Kings 3:5, and God said. 1 Kings 3:11, 1 Chronicles 11:2, 1 Chronicles 14:14, 28:3. 1:11. Hosea 1:6. Jonah 4:9. Luke 12:20. I know what the adversary is saying. You don't have to tell me what the devil is saying. He's saying you're defeated. You're weak. You're not going to make it. You're not going to get the Holy Ghost. You're not going to be healed. Your prayers are not powerful. Your ministry's going to fail. Your child is never going to be saved. Your body is never going to receive the miracle you're believing in. You're never going to be free of the things that I know what the adversary's saying. But I've come to this pulpit tonight to ask you whose report will you believe? Because there's another voice that is proclaiming, you are victorious. You are strong. You are going to make it. Your prayers are powerful. Your ministry is anointed. Your child is going to be full of the Holy Ghost. Your healing is on the way. And you're going to be loosed and set free. I wish somebody clap your hands unto the Lord for what he is saying. Praise God. Paul talks about the exceeding greatness of his power unto us who believe. Why would you listen to the voice of a lying devil when you have all of God's power available to you tonight? Praise God. Anybody else in the room? We could measure their power. Oh, yeah. We can measure your intellectual power by testing your IQ. We can measure your physical power by causing you to lift weights. We could measure your power of memory by asking you to read something and asking you to re-quote or remember something that you just read in front of us. But when it comes to God's power, it's impossible to measure, because we have never found anything that is greater than the power of God. If you weigh 200 pounds and your scales at home, is that what you call them, scales? Bathroom scales? If your scales at home only go up to 100 pounds and you weigh 200 pounds, we will never be able to tell how much you weigh, because your weight exceeds the greatness of the scale. Don't go buying another scale. Just lose a little weight, praise God. But when you start talking about God, hell has never manufactured anything that has ever challenged the power of God. Praise God. Satan has never come up with an infirmity that the power of God cannot heal. Satan has never come up with a circumstance that God's power cannot get you through. Somebody say amen. Satan has never come up with a curse that God's power cannot break. Amen. I was raised in a home with an alcoholic father. If you think I'm messed up now, you should have seen me when I was a child. I saw things a child should have never seen. I went through things that a child should never have had to go through. In my home was cursing and violence and lewdness and turmoil. And I saw my father drunk in my life more than I saw him sober. The police were called to our home constantly. Many times, they knew us by our first names. And when they would arrive, because somebody, some neighbor, or maybe even a family member called the police because my father was on a rampage through the house, throwing things and cursing and threatening us. But my mother would dress us kids every Sunday morning. And she would get us in that old Chevy Impala, which was about a mile long, and drank probably a gallon of gas every mile. And she would take us to the greater First Pentecostal Church of Alexandria in Louisiana, there in the USA. And I don't know what church was to other people, but to my family, it was a sanctuary. We drove through the bush yesterday, and brother and sister Downs showed us that they said this is a refuge. And that's what the church is. It's a refuge. It's a sanctuary. You can't touch me here. You can't get into my life and do things that are destructive to me here. This is a sanctuary. And when we got to the sanctuary, we felt the peace that we could not find at home. And we felt the beautiful presence of God. And we found our place in that beautiful sanctuary. And coming out of that turbulent emotional chaos and fighting and screaming and confusion, when we got to church, there was nothing like the peace that we felt, and the soothing worship was like a balm that was rubbed all over our soul, and we were baptized in the presence of God with a peace that passes all understanding. We didn't go to church because we wanted Jesus. We went to church because we needed Jesus. The bishop, G.A. Mangan, and Sister Vesta Mangan, they would preach and they would sing, and the word would wash our minds and wash our souls. And every week, hope again was renewed. I cannot express to you what this church means to me and my family. And when people walk up to attack God's church, they might want to turn around and go talk to somebody else, because my life is in this church. This church is my life. It has given me everything I am and everything I have and everything I will be. It's given me the only hope in life. It's given me eternity. It's given me a great future, because there's nothing like the church. I don't know what experience you had in some other church, in some other place. Somebody might have hurt you. Somebody may have done something to you to make you feel negative feelings toward the church. But I tell you, there is nothing like the church. I didn't say there's nothing like the people. I said there's nothing like God's church, because the people that make up the church are the imperfections of God's church. But the church is the perfect body of Christ. And there's nothing like the church. And that's where we found ourselves every week, in a place hiding away in a sanctuary, a refuge away from all of the chaos. All I remember of my father's family is that all of the men in my father's family were alcoholics, every one of them. All my uncles, I met them all. And every time I'd meet them, they were drinking, and they were alcoholics, full-blown alcoholics. My father used to tell me his father was an alcoholic. And that meant for generations before me, all the male Weber men were alcoholics. It had carried from generation to generation to generation. And I thought for a moment, I'm not an alcoholic. What happened to me? And I realized the only difference between me, my father, my grandfather, and my uncles is when I was 10 years of age, I walked down an aisle to an old-fashioned altar area in front of the church, and I kneeled and repented of my sins, and then I lifted my hands, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. And you might want to say it's not real. Well, brothers and sisters, it's enough to break the curse. It's enough to break a curse in your life that has been carried from generation to generation to generation. I don't care what your family was. They may have been something that has passed something to your life, but you can break that curse tonight if you'll let the Holy Ghost work, if you'll let the power of the Spirit begin to move through your life, if you'll get full of the Holy Ghost, He'll break that curse. It's the only difference I could find, Brother Downs, was that I had the Holy Ghost and they didn't. And that was what broke the curse. And now my children have the Holy Ghost. And now my grandchildren are in church, and as soon as they're old enough, they're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Hey, you can turn things around in your family tonight. This is bigger than you are. This is greater than just your one decision. You can turn things around for every generation coming after you. Praise God. Everything the enemy ever did, God said, I'm greater than that. Think about that for a moment. Everything the enemy's ever done, God has always proved greater than that. We've never been able to find the limits of God's power. The psalmist David couldn't do it. He concluded, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Moses wrote, in the beginning, God, because he could not write in God's beginning. So he just said, let me go back as far as I can go. Let me talk about him before there are any nations, before there are any continents, before there are any waterways, before the wind began to blow over the terrestrial earth, before there were planets and solar systems, before the sun began to shine and light up the galaxy, before all of that, he stood all by himself. Before there was Michael, before there was a Gabriel, before there was an archangel, there was God standing all by himself. And that God standing by himself on absolutely nothing had a thought, and out of the gross depths of his thoughts, he spoke, and God said, let there be. And when God said, let there be, it became what he said. You need to tune out all the other voices tonight, and you need to let God speak into your life. Let him speak into your circumstance. Let him speak into your family. Let him speak into your home. Let him speak into your health. Let him speak into your ministry. Let him speak into your job. Hear what the Lord is saying tonight. Do you have any idea how much power God has made available to you right now? Praise God. Mark 11:23, Jesus is trying to get us to understand how much power is waiting for us in this room tonight. For verily I say unto you, verse 23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Did you notice that God chose a mountain as his example? Why a mountain? Well, look at Mount Everest, the world's highest mountain, and perhaps the world's most dangerous mountain. At over 29,000 feet, oxygen is so scarce that life is non-existent and breathing nearly impossible. Winds howl at up to 165 miles per hour, greater than a Category 5 hurricane. Everest rises to over 5 miles above the earth. Extended stays at such an altitude can lead to sudden death. Every year, one out of every 30 people who try to climb Mount Everest lose their lives on that great mountain. Mauna Loa, located in the island of Hawaii, is the most massive mountain on earth, with volumes of 74 trillion cubic meters. Enough material to fill the Grand Canyon in the United States 18 times. So if faith can remove a mountain like that, then faith can heal your body. And faith can put your marriage back together. And faith can strengthen your struggle. And faith can bring your children home. And faith can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Faith can work out any circumstance in your life. If you believe that, clap your hands unto the Lord. Remember what Jesus said. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Notice, Jesus never said the mountain would be destroyed. He just said it would be removed and cast away. But look where he said it's going to be cast. Into the sea. The mountain is not destroyed, but it sinks into the sea. Jesus is trying to get the mountain out of your sight. Faith is a powerful thing. Let me put it like this. You've got to get your mountain below sea level. Whatever voice it is that's bringing the cloud of doubt into your mind, I come against that voice tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. There's not a person in this room tonight that God doesn't want to bring about a supernatural miracle. The devil would love to see your circumstances distract your faith. He would love to see your circumstances obstruct your faith. He'd love to see your circumstances destroy your faith. The enemy wants us to face life with fear and apprehension, because fear is one of Satan's favorite weapons. Fear is doubt's first cousin. Fear and doubt work against faith to keep a person imprisoned by their limitations. There are some among us tonight who are under an attack of fear and doubt. They're being threatened by words like divorce, job loss, failure, health problems. I'm not going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to heal your body. Because the devil wants us to focus on our mountain. But I want to say to you tonight what Jesus said to Jairus in Mark 5:36. When he got the word that his daughter had died and there was now no need to bother the master anymore, Jesus whirls around to Jairus and he says, whatever you do, don't stop believing. Jairus, whatever you've heard, whatever circumstances are proven to you that it cannot happen and that it is impossible, Jairus, whatever you do, I've got to have you to keep believing, because it's that faith that I'm going to move through. It's going to build a bridge for me to get right to your issue and bring the miracle that you need like nothing else can do. Believe that God is about to do what you are not able to do yourself, but what it has taken years for Satan to accomplish, God can restore right now. Right now. I've watched over the many years of my life and ministry, time and time again, I've watched people that have come to the altar with years of things the adversary has done. And in just a moment, I've watched God untangle the mess and heal people in just a moment what it took an adversary to do over many, many years. When Lazarus' two sisters lose him, they're devastated, as any of us would be. They're grieving. But Lazarus has died, and they sent for Jesus long ago, but he didn't show up when they thought he should have shown up. Sometimes God doesn't do what we think he ought to do. And by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus is dead. Mary says to him, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. She was quickly getting bitter. She didn't say, thank you for coming, Jesus. I know you had a long way to walk, and I know that you're busy and you had other things to do. Just you being here with me today, it makes me feel much better to know you're comforting our family. Thank you. So, no, it wasn't like that. She was letting bitterness slip in, and she says, if you had been here, my brother would not be dead. She didn't have the faith to understand that just because life has put you on pause doesn't have the power to stop you altogether. Periodically during your life, you hit turbulent places, and if you're not careful, bitterness will creep into your life and make you feel like things are over, and it wants to steal your faith. A series of losses will affect how you feel about yourself, how you see life, and how you trust God and put your faith in him. Jesus, if you had just been here, where were you when I needed you the most? And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. And she says, I know you're the Christ. And when the resurrection takes place, my brother, he's going to rise again. I know that. She had faith for the future. She had faith for the past. But the key that unlocked supernatural's door, faith for the present, she could not find. And the lack of faith affects your attitude. When you stop believing that God is going to operate in the here and now, you start fighting the only one who can help you because you give up too soon. But look what Jesus says to Mary. Show me where you have laid him. In other words, take me to the place in your life where you stopped believing. Tonight,
you need to take the power of God to the place in your life where you stop believing that He would do it. What you need is for the anointing of God to flow over your mind and over your heart so that you can believe again, so that you can trust again, so that you can see with the eyes of faith again. One more time, as Jesus said to Jairus, whatever you do, don't stop believing. Praise God. For years, I didn't know it, but my back had a degenerative disease. Through my early years, I played a lot of basketball, and I was very involved. You could ask my wife, even after I got married, I was always looking for a basketball game. And when we had children, I would bring them to the courts with me and play basketball. And one time I was playing basketball and about in my late 30s, and I went up for a layup, and all of a sudden I had the most extreme pain in my back, and I fell onto the court, and they had to bring me to the hospital, and they gave me some anti-inflammatory medication, and they said, we don't see anything. Well, it went on, and it progressed, and I was in my 40s. I began to have pain in my back, and it would last for a week, and then it would be gone, and I wouldn't go to the doctor. But when it crossed over into my 50s, it began to bother me very frequently, monthly and then weekly. I never knew when it would occur. It could come up at the most unexpected times. I would just reach over for something or bend over for something, and my back would have extreme pain, and it would lock up, and I would have to find a bed and lay there, and it could be up to a week. I couldn't move. I just laid in that bed. And then toward January of 2016, it got to where I was unable to stand for more than 5 or 10 minutes. I was sharing some of this with Brother and Sister Downs, and it was very embarrassing. I would preach, and I would try to get off the platform, and I would move to a chair to sit down, and I had to sit down by keeping my back straight, and when I wasn't straight enough, all of a sudden there was that extreme pain, and I would yell out, and men literally had to come and straighten out my legs for me so the pain would recede. And I realized I had to make a life change. Something was not right. And so I went to the doctors, and the doctors told me that their x-rays showed that I had degenerative disease in my back, where the lumbar or the vertebra were beginning to disintegrate and turn to powder within my back around my spine, and that there's very little they can do for that, but they would try to ease my pain. And so they did a series of injections. We put needles about 8 to 10 inches long into your back, about 6 at a time, all the way to your spine, and they inject some type of medication that would try to numb the muscles around the back. Every time I did those injections, 3 sets of them over a period of months, it didn't help me for a few moments until I walked out of the hospital and all over again. I would stand for a long time to try to test it out, and sure enough, it went right back to where it was with extreme pain. And they said, sir, there's not anything else we can do. We might can help you by surgery, but there's no guarantee. We can put some bone fragments around those degenerative discs and maybe somehow weld them together, but there's no guarantee, Mr. Weber. We just don't know. It's not a guaranteed thing. And so I talked to the church on a Sunday, and I said, I want you to know what's happening in my life. And I told them that they may I'm going to have to step out of the pulpit, and I'm not going to be the pastor you're used to. And right now I just need to work on getting all of this correct and sorting out my life and seeing how I'm going to have to change what I do and how I do it. And I said, you may see me in service sitting on the side of you. I'm not going to be standing over a couple of minutes at a time. And it's not because I don't love God. It's not because I don't believe that this is not the truth and I don't like to worship, but I can't. My back is
not allowing me to do what I want to do. And I told them that don't think that I'm being disrespectful by not standing, and don't think that I'm losing the Holy Ghost by sitting down in front of you when somebody is preaching and we ought to be saying amen. Don't think those things. And my son Derek, who is our associate pastor, I told him he's going to be preaching for a while, and we're going to have powerful services. And during that time, I was being treated by the neurosurgeon. All of this time, we were trying to get things lined out, what to do, and I found myself looking at surgery square in the face. And here I was, I couldn't stand for more than about 8 minutes. I couldn't plan a vacation with my family. I remember we were going to take our boys, our grandkids on a vacation, but it was going to require walking a lot. And we had to cancel that vacation because of me. I felt like I couldn't carry out my ministry. How can I preach if I can't stand? And how can I be active in the kingdom of God? How can I go pray for people? How can I do anything? I was preparing to contact all of those who had asked me to come minister in different countries and in different places in the U.S., all the conferences I was scheduled to preach, and just tell them, I can't do it. I'm sorry. And I'm not a negative person, folks. I don't see myself as negative at all. But a spirit of depression moved in and began to hover over my life. And I felt like my ministry was over. And I felt like life as I knew it was over. And there were times when I was alone and I would weep and I would question God, why? And all of a sudden I thought, this is not the will of God for me to be depressed. It's not the will of God for me to say I don't believe. It's not the will of God for me to doubt and to fear. So I did what I was taught by my pastor. When the devil turns up the heat, you turn up the prayer. And that's what I did. I started getting up earlier and I began to pray more. And one day when I was in my office praying, I felt to tell God something. I said, God, you would not call me to do something that is impossible for me to do. So God, if I am to preach from a chair, then I am willing to do what you've called me to do. I'll be the best I can be for my family. I'll be the best I can be for the church. And I'll be the best with the ministry you've placed in my hands. And right there, I felt the heaviness of depression lift off of me. And that dark cloud that was hovering over me dissipated, because faith was restored. It's as if God was waiting for me to tell him that I trust you with what I have left, instead of feeling sorry for what I had lost. So I told our church, we're going to have a drama. We're not going to have a drama on Sunday morning. We're not going to have a musical. But on Sunday morning of Easter Sunday, we're going to have a healing service. And there I was with a back brace on. And I was sitting there on Easter Sunday morning. We had leased one of the convention centers in Lafayette at the local university so all of our church could fit in there at one time. And there we were in that big ballroom, and we worshiped. And then we had a prayer line on Easter Sunday morning. Hundreds of people lined up. And for 2 hours, we prayed for people. For 2 hours. I was the first one they prayed for with this back brace, sitting in a stool. And people lined up beside me, all of our leaders and ministers were facing me, a line on that side, and then all of us on this side facing them. And the line would come through. People would come through. We'd pray for them. First one they prayed for, they said, we want to pray for you, Pastor. And there I was with my back brace sitting on a stool, and I just sat there, and they laid hands on me, and the power of the Holy Ghost began to flow. And I wish I could say I felt the warm oil some feel when they say they are healed. They feel a warmness begin to flow over them, like you poured warm oil over their head and it would flow over their body. I didn't feel that. I wish I could tell you I heard angels sing. I wish I could tell you I heard thunder rumble outside the building, but I didn't experience that either. But I sat there with the back brace on, and I didn't feel anything, but I felt the presence of God. You know the presence of God that assures you that brings peace, that encourages you, that says, whatever you do, don't stop. And after we prayed for 2 hours, people received the Holy Ghost in that line. People were healed in that line. In that line, we had people come through that had devastating issues, facing problems. They came out of that line and told me later how God had instantly taken care of things in their lives that were miraculous. Well, service was over. We went and ate. And then we went home, and I sat in my chair like I usually do, not moving. The next morning, school's out, so my grandson, he was 8 years old. He says, would you take me to, we have a big toy store in Louisiana called Toys R Us. They just closed down. It broke the heart of my grandson. But it was open at that time. And he said, would you take me to Toys R Us? And I said, let's go. And we hopped in my truck and ran to Toys R Us. And I said, okay, you've got 8 minutes. That would have been the greatest miracle right there, for him to find a toy in 8 minutes. I said, you've got 8 minutes, because I knew I had to be out of there in 8 minutes. And so he took off. I didn't see him. He was flying through that store. I'd walk down the long aisles and look down the aisles to see where he was. And every once in a while, I'd see him run past. And so I began to call out, Jackson, where are you? I heard his voice on the other side, and I'd head way over there. And I got over there, and he had a bunch of toys laid out. And he says, which one do you think I ought to get? So I began to think about that. Then all of a sudden, I realized I had been standing up for 15 minutes. I knew something was about to happen. I began to look for a chair or someplace, and so I sat down right in the middle of the aisle on the floor. And there I am sitting on the floor, and the toys are all right there, and Jackson's sitting there waiting for me to choose a toy. And I'm sitting in the floor, and I'm going, what am I doing? What am I? I'm going through the motions of doubt. We just become so accustomed to not receiving that we just accept it, and it controls everything we do. And I said, wait a minute. I don't feel any pain. And I stood up. You know, you start testing things. And I called my wife. I said, Karen, I've been walking around now for 30 minutes. I don't feel any pain. And I said, I'm coming to pick you up, take you to your best sporting goods store. And we ran to a sporting goods store, and we walked through that store, and for another hour probably. Then we went to eat, and that has been 2 years ago on Easter Sunday. And I've had no more pain for 2 years. Because there's a God who said, I will if you will. If you believe, if you'll trust. He said, I'll put things back together. I'll bring healing. I'll bring direction. I'll bring the power of my name into your situation. Jesus gave you a promise. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. That. Woo. I don't know what is impossible in your life. I don't know you, and you barely know me. But I do know God. And I know that He is not a respecter of persons. He don't love me any more than He loves you. He don't want to see miracles in my life any more than He wants to see them in your life. And in this place tonight, before we leave, you can experience the power of the supernatural in your life right now. Would you stand? God's telling somebody, whatever you do, don't stop believing. Don't stop believe. Maybe this morning you did not receive the Holy Ghost. And this afternoon, I know the adversary. I know how he is. All afternoon, see there? You ask and he didn't give it to you. See there? All those people around you received. But you right there, see, God doesn't love you. I know the adversary. His voice is so plain to recognize. Because whatever he said is a direct lie. He couldn't tell, Jeff Arnold says he couldn't tell the truth standing on a Bible. But in this room is a God that loves you more than anything. You are the apple of his eye. You are the delight of his heart. He desires to give you. He desires to plant in you something that is greater than you. Tonight, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you do, you will speak in a heavenly language as about 6, 7, 8. I kept counting. There's another one that received the Holy Ghost over here we weren't aware of at the end of the service. There's no telling who in this service this morning was filled. There's no telling how many were refilled and rebaptized with the Spirit. It is you that God loves. And tonight he wants to fill you with his Spirit before you leave this place. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. I can't tell you the details. It's different with all of us. Some of us, he will move in and sweep in, and within seconds, others, he's looking for a little deeper faith in us. I don't know who walked into this building with an infirmity that is beyond the help of a doctor, beyond the help of human hands or medicine. But I do know a physician in this house who can say, that's all I needed to know is if you trust me. If you trust me with what you have left instead of worrying about what you've lost, if you'll trust me tonight. Some circumstance that's about to worry you to tears. Some event in your life that is beyond your ability to overcome. He can step in just like he did with the disciples in that ship. And he can talk to the wind and the waves, the natural elements, and say, peace, be still. Praise God. And the wind has to obey, and the waves have to listen to him. The natural does not determine the supernatural. The laws of the natural do not control the supernatural. If a doctor says you must, if a doctor says you cannot, if a doctor says it will not, that does not determine what God can do. And in this place, he would never have given us tongues and interpretation or this message if he had not planned to move into this place and began to minister powerfully in your life. Praise God. The first I would like to meet us in the front, the first, are those amongst us who would like to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have never experienced speaking in tongues, that other language, that heavenly language, and you would like that experience tonight. You would like the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I would like to first invite you to stand with me in the front. We're going to be here. All of us will be here in just a moment, but I want you to be first. Is there somebody? Is there a child? Is there a teenager? Is there a man, a woman? Whether you're a guest or a member, it doesn't matter. We're on even ground here tonight. All of us, when we come before God with faith, he's not going to say, are you Pentecostal? He's not going to say, are you Catholic or Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or Episcopalian or Buddhist or what are you? He's not going to ask one thing, but if you come to him with faith, that is what he's looking for. Is there somebody that would like the Holy Ghost? Would you come down right now quickly? Show your faith. Don't hesitate. Would you come stand with me real quick? Anyone that would like the Holy Ghost tonight? Is there someone that would like the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues? Anybody? Okay. If you would like a miracle over a physical ailment in your body, a miracle, I want you to stand real quickly. Operate by faith. Don't let doubt move in. Don't let distraction. Don't let hesitation. Don't let feeling and fact knock faith out the door. That's it. If you need a physical healing, come as close as you can, please. God is going to bring healing to this house. He's already here. His word is powerful. Yes, it is. Okay. Now, behind these, if there is some circumstance in your life, some circumstance in your home, some circumstance on your job, I want you to, that it needs a miracle, that it needs the hand of God, that you need a miracle in a situation, I want you to follow right behind these and get as close as you can. Would you do that right now? God is about to bring healing to your circumstance. You've been wondering about your job. You've been wondering about some issue that you've been having to deal with. It might be something that is wrecking your emotions. It's worrying you. It's causing you to fear. Praise God. God's going to take care of it tonight. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. It's not canny. He is going to. He is going to. You ready? Now I'm going to ask everyone that's left in the sanctuary, if you'll file in right behind us, get as close as you can. Can I tell you what's going to happen tonight? Let me tell you what's going to happen. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to begin to pray with faith. I've learned that after pastoring many years and being in leadership for many years and being in the church all my life, I've learned that sometimes we can pray in a way that is full of doubt. Lord, I ask you to heal me, but if you don't want to tonight, I understand. He never said to do it that way. And here's another way we pray. God, heal my back. It hurts. There's a lot of problems. You know I need surgery. You know it. You know I can't stand up longer. We give God all the facts. But if you look in Scripture, it says totally the opposite. He says, for faith is the substance of things hoped for. And did he not say, whatever you ask in faith, that will I do. So what you must do to be asking in faith is you must reach out in your faith and see that circumstance gone. And you must see your body healed. And you must see your situation totally worked out by the hand of God. As you pray, you've got to see that. Not your problem. He said, don't look at the mountain, speak to it so that you can see beyond the mountain. Get it below sea level. Praise God. This week we shall testify of what God has done tonight. You watch. You're going to call your pastor this week. You're going to call him and you're going to say, I need to testify to you what just took place. What just took place? I need to tell you because God has done it for me. Would you lift your hands and close your eyes? Lift your head and begin to thank God for the healing. Thank God for the power. Thank God for the worked out situation. I see my back healed. I see my disease gone. I see my circumstance. Yes, yes, that's it. I feel faith in this house. I feel faith right now working. That's it. Somebody's tapping into the faith. Somebody pull down your miracle with that faith tonight. Oh. shalom satalaba. Yes. 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 I think blood disorders are disappearing. High blood pressure is leaving you. Back disorders are getting put back together. I see him moving muscles and internal organs. I see him changing your heart situation. I see him moving up and down your spinal cord through your circulatory system. Yes, great physician, we receive the miracle right now. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Come on, that's it. It's mine. It's mine. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do.